With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got a birthday coming up, and maybe you got a basketball fan in the house. You think, well, how can I do a basketball-themed birthday party? We got the solution for you. It's Shoot 360 here in Memphis. They got lots of options for you for any budget. You can do the multi-court rental, which gets you two shooting courts and two skill stations. Or if you're sparing no expense, you can rent out the whole facility. You get 90 minutes, you get 2 hours, all types of options for that basketball fan on their birthday. Shoot 360 right here in Memphis.
It is the best if you're talking about training your son or daughter or seeing if you can ignite that fire in them. Maybe that passion's already there. You just want to help them out, support it. Shoot 360 is the place to get them. As soon as you walk in, you're going to know you're in the right place. When you see all the other kids in there having all that fun and getting so much better, again, you're going to feel good because you're not paying an arm or a leg as a parent or as an uncle or as an aunt. That's the great thing. They've got a bunch of membership options, one certainly to fit your budget. You've just got to get out there. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future is now at Shoot 360. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. And real quick, before we get to the rundown, the event that Brother Sane was talking about, he just sent me tonight is the actual summit in terms of doors opening tonight at 6 p.m. over at Hope. Tomorrow is a flag football tournament. But we mentioned it. Pac-Man is in that. Chris Johnson, the former Titan as well. Lindell White going to be there. That mental health summit tonight at 6 p.m. Correct the record on that. Every day at this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Tigers get the win down at SMU last night, further, like we said, cementing their position as an NCAA tournament team. We've talked a lot about Sunday, but they have locked up the number two Sunday's regular season finale against Houston. But they have locked up the number two seed in next week's AAC tournament. I believe that that first game for them is going to be on Friday, having gotten the first round bye. Yeah, as the number two seed, they will play the 7 p.m. game. By the way, in the quarterfinals next week down in Fort Worth at the AAC tournament, but obviously still got to finish out the regular season before then. Kendrick Davison has returned to SMU, where he spent three seasons. Got a little emotional, too, there. I mean, you saw that there at the end, and Penny Hardaway defended his man in terms of some of the behavior SMU folks. We hadn't gotten into that first hour. Maybe we'll touch on that here in just a second. But he was fantastic for you on the floor, hit the first shot of the game, swish. 23 on his way to 23 points, 10 assists, 4 steals in that game. We mentioned Amari Franklin, three times in the last four games. Now he's double figures, 15 points in that game. He's getting more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's the same pattern of all of these transfer guys, except for Kendrick, who's been, you know, awesome from the get-go. But they've had to settle in and sort of find their spot in the pecking order. DeAndre Williams maybe coming on. DeMario Franklin maybe coming on at a very opportune time for the Tigers, especially with the loss of Keontae Kennedy with the hand. So it was good to see as well. We mentioned the Tigers shot 51% from the floor. That's starting to be a thing for them. 13-1 on the season now when they shoot over 50% from the floor. So a lot of good to come out of last night's game, but none more important than the fact that you just won the game, that you didn't get what would have been a real blemish on your resume, you know, when you're talking about that selection committee looking at your at-large resume. Things should be good. We told you about Joe Lunardi's newest, latest bracketology. He's got him at number 9, the Tigers, playing an 8-seed Illinois team with number 1 Kansas looming in the second round. How about that kind of matchup? Palm's got the Tigers as a 10, so it's kind of flipped.
Yeah.
At one point, Palm was a little bit higher on the Tigers, had him higher than Lunardi. Now it's sort of flipped. He's got them as a 10. We mentioned it, John did earlier, too, over Bracket Matrix. They're around 10.2. So 10 is probably closer to what they are, at least on average, in some of these bracketologies. But, again, Tigers back. Now, back to the Kendrick thing. What did you think of Penny saying what he did about SMU
and what was said?
Just they called him a traitor. But like I told Jeff, no, you're not there. You don't hear. We didn't hear everything. And that student section, unlike some other places, having been down there a bunch, is on top of you in a way that's a little bit different. And so what they're saying is more heard. You got to imagine, too, a little bit less loud than it usually is. And so you're getting that head on. You're hearing it head on. And it clearly rubbed Kendrick Davis the wrong way, rubbed Penny Hardaway the wrong way. It just feels like there must have been something more than traitor said for it to tick off Kendrick and Penny the way that it did.
Yeah, because
Penny said that was, you know, representative of SMU.
Yeah,
he was angry about it. So I'm assuming that there were some nasty things said.
Yeah, I mean, and if we don't know,
but if it was just traitor, then
feels a little, feels a little extreme. I mean,
even a few kids out of the student section, even if they had said something, that Penny was mad that they weren't escorted out. So whatever they said, whether it's traitor or we're thinking more to get Penny that ticked, I'm sure he's heard far worse than that before and not said kick that guy out. But, you know, Penny had asked for him to take him out. They did not, and I think that's what angered him the most, maybe even more than what was being said, John, was the fact that SMU didn't feel like they had any responsibility to curb it in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have situations in the past where KJ Lawson has come back to Memphis and he's been booted. You know, so, I mean, I guess that's, I mean, is that much different than being called a traitor? I mean,
not knowing everything that was said, you have to leave open the possibility that something nasty was said for him to go to that point and say it was representative of the whole school that y'all, you know, we know how they are.
I'm shocked that there were enough fans there to even care. Like, honestly.
That student section is right by the court. Unless they've changed it, that thing is right by the court. You don't need to have anybody in. You're going to hear everything they say. It's right by the bench, right by the court. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have a packed Moody Coliseum to hear this. And they go out of their way at Moody, those students, to get under the opposition skin. So, again, there's a very good chance that they said something beyond that.
Yeah. I'd arrest them. Throw them underneath the jail. Nobody talks to Kendrick like that. Fullest extent of the law. I don't know what was said, but it must be very, really, really bad. And I'd say 5 years in federal prison at minimum would be with the sentence I would seek for those offenders. You know,
appreciate that.
But yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't surprise me. It's, you know, a kid's going back to his old school. He left for Memphis. They're beating the hell out of him. The team's bad. You know, it doesn't shock me that people are going to be salty about it, right? I mean, I'm hoping that it didn't get, you know, racial or anything like that.
I think if it had gotten racial, we would have heard about it.
Right. I mean, that's all.
That's a line that you cross, and you let folks know, you know, you let that line be known.
Yeah, you would think so. So, regardless, look, the only thing that matters is that Kendrick Davis got out of there with a decisive victory. There was no doubt. No doubt was left in that game last night. They were up double digits at the half. You know, they never really let SMU get closer than, what, 6 or 7 there in the second half. They did exactly – and I think that's the under-maybe-appreciated thing about this Memphis basketball team is that, like, they've really done what they're supposed to do for the largest part, right? Like, they've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. Yeah, there have been a couple of letdowns, but for the most part, like, they've handled business all year long. And that's not typically what happens, you know, like, but there was no loss to East Carolina this year. You know what I mean? There was no loss to Tulsa this year. There was no, you know, moment where, yeah, the sweep by Tulane was bad. That was probably the low point. But as we've talked about, I mean, that is the third place team in the league, and they're probably a little bit better than we're used to them being. So it's not as bad as it felt at the time. And I think that's the thing that, you know, that to me is another part of growth here, is that there just wasn't that game where Memphis dropped a stupid one. Like, there just wasn't. So
it's called the value of experience in college basketball.
That's exactly right. And that's, I think, a big part of why Penny built the team the way he did.
No question. And it's, I think, why he will pour in experience all around the young guys he's got coming in next year.
Right. Because
you don't go back to that.
No, because you'll
and
get
not
back.
Knowing how to close out games, right, and all that, and having to relearn that process or reteach it to freshmen.
Right.
All a fully, you know, and you've made, you know, Cal, you would think, had figured that out by now. You know, that it takes, you know, more and some guys that have been through the wars, you're better off that way, especially when it comes down to not losing to teams you're not supposed to. Guys that have been through games, played a ton of games, they help you do that. It's such a you know, such a huge advantage for you in college basketball.
Absolutely. So now it comes down to Sunday. Now it's down to Sunday, and we unfortunately do not have a number on that because it is a Sunday. Even if it was tomorrow, we wouldn't have a number on it. So we will not know. But look, whether or not Memphis wins, you know, it's great if they do, but it feels like they're in the NCAA tournament, and that's ultimately what yesterday was all about.
Well, and it's all going to come down to draw. And listen, the difference in this. We're not through the Lenardi thing at you this morning. They've got Memphis as a 9, playing Illinois as an 8. John, on that one, tough matchup right out of the gun to play Kansas as a 1.
Yeah.
If you come out of that 8-9,
that's brutal, dude.
You think, oh.
That's brutal.
Like, even if you get through and you get to the tournament, if that's the draw, my gosh, that's as tough as it gets. It's brutal, as John said. But look, let me present this one to you. Tigers are 10. Creighton's the 7 to face a number 2 seed Kansas State. Should it get past its first round game? How much better does that one look?
You know what I'm saying? That's
like,
better.
That's what I'm
saying. It's further away from Memphis, so it's harder for fans to get to.
I'm just saying, you got to catch some luck here in terms of the way they set this thing up. But
that draw,
if you
is
get
easier
the right draw,
yes.
We could really be talking about, you know, maybe something special, as opposed to, yeah, it's been a good season and Penny Hardaway's more established foundation.
Yep.
You know, if you get that right draw,
yeah,
you know, you finish that right as that right 10 seed, or
yeah, no,
you know, go up to a 7, whatever it is.
Yeah, like, I don't think Memphis
we may be
is beating Illinois
feeling a lot different
8-9.
About this season.
Yeah. I think that's just a terrible
matchup. That would be as tough as it gets if that's what you pull out of this thing and you're a 9.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis historically does not play well against the Big Ten. It just doesn't. Like, when's the last time Memphis beat a Big Ten team? I mean, I feel like every time they played a Big Ten team, it's been pretty one-sided. Like, I think about Michigan State. I think about Michigan and Maui. Like, it doesn't happen very often, Memphis playing a Big Ten team, but I feel like it never goes well for Memphis.
Did they beat Ohio State in any of those that won in Miami?
Oh, yeah, Ohio State kicked their ass.
Ohio State kicked their tail.
Yeah.
They play them once or twice, maybe just that one time.
And then when Joey Dorsey said he's Goliath. then he had like 0 points and 3 rebounds. Yeah.
Oh, that was a different. I was thinking about one that I covered. You're talking about one before.
Did Memphis play Ohio State when you were on the
Yeah, beat? I want to say they played them in Miami and maybe like a one off or something.
I think they actually did win that one.
That's the one I'm thinking about. And you asked me the last one they won.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking is that there was one
who
when
I've been on that Ohio State team.
Oof.
That's an interesting. It was November 27th, 2015. Ohio State was 500.
It was an underachiever. I remember that.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of – they had one 5-star that was underachieving too.
It was in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They had Jaquan Lyle.
Ah, there it is.
They had Jaquan Lyle and Tate and Jayshon Tate.
There it is.
So that's the last time. And Memphis did win that one, but that was an underachiever.
Off the top of my head, it might be last time. I think it's last time.
Was that like one of Thad Matta's last seasons there?
Mm-hmm. Feels like it.
Yeah, like, I just feel like the Big Ten just plays such a style that is a contrast to Memphis, right? Like, Big Ten teams want to plod, they want to slow it up, they want to play tough ass physical defense.
Who would have the best player on the floor against Illinois?
Illinois. Memphis. Yeah, I think so. Because it's Terrence Shannon. I would give him the edge. And as much as I love Kendrick Davis, I think
you just gave us a whole freaking soliloquy.
Well, Terrence Shannon's a beast. You know?
So was Kendrick Davis.
He is. Nice. I mean, the Kendrick's numbers are better. Kendrick's numbers are definitely better.
Thank you.
But I don't know. It'd be close. It'd be close.
Yeah, I know Brad dinged it because he's an Illinois man, but y'all might be a little too quick on this one.
I might have been wrong.
I think the Tigers have the best player on the floor if they play Illinois.
You know, he's going to play two ways.
Yeah, Shannon's a pro though.
Is he in mock drafts?
I think he is. Isn't he a second rounder?
Well, hell, Kendrick could be a second rounder.
Kendrick's pro at whatever level.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it might be a slight nod to Kendrick. It could be.
As long as you got
the best player on the floor,
you got a chance. But back to the point.
But if you did a if you did a draft, right, of like the top 10 players in that game, Illinois would have more than Memphis. Like Memphis would have two and Illinois would have the rest. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And the style, right? Brad Underwood's like that's what I want. Do you have the other eights in front of you? Like the other eight seeds?
Mm-hmm. Which bracket you want?
Well, give me the one you just, the Lenardi bracket, right? And that the one where they had,
he's the one with the Illinois.
Yeah, give me the other eights. I want to see if I can find an eight here that I'd be comfortable with.
Providence.
Be comfortable.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Be comfortable.
Maryland.
I would be comfortable with Providence and Missouri. I think Memphis would definitely beat Missouri.
Mizzou's pretty good.
They're pretty good, but
they beat Illinois.
I like Missouri. I like that matchup for Memphis better. I just do. I mean, Memphis has played so well against the SEC.
Illinois is the toughest eight.
Yeah, Illinois is the toughest eight.
It's a tough draw, though. You're right.
I mean, Maryland
don't want any part of it. But it seems that Memphis usually catches that. It usually catches.
Give me the seven. Give me the 7-10s. Give me the 7-10s.
7-10s.
I guess you say give me the sevens
Texas,
right now.
Texas A&M and Pittsburgh are in the same in the Midwest that he's got.
Oh, you'd love that.
Yeah. Kentucky, USC, watched last night. Boogie had 35 and a loss.
You'd love that one, yep.
Iowa, Boise State.
You'd love, I mean, Iowa's like, that game would be in the 200s.
That's what they do.
I mean, that would be a hell of a high scoring
then
game.
Michigan State, NC State in the other 7-10.
Don't want to see Michigan State. They like it's the same as always.
We just had that discussion.
Yeah.
Three of the 4-7s I think Memphis could easily beat though. Not easily, but like I would like that matchup. Illinois to me is in Michigan State would be the worst.
I'd rather be a 10. I'd rather be a 10.
Yeah. I mean that's becoming crystal clear.
Well, that's what they are on average.
Yeah.
You want
Memphis to win, but at the same time it's like you get that 8-9 and those eights are friggin' tough, man. Those eights are tough this season. Illinois got flaws, don't get me wrong, but not only do they have Terrence Shannon, but they got the Matthew Mayer kid from Baylor who's a good player. Like yep. Brad Underwood's a really good coach.
Lost last night in a double overtime one. But that center from Michigan ate him up. They're vulnerable down low, but we don't have anything to match up to take advantage of that, I guess.
Yeah. They won last night. Illinois did.
Oh, yeah, they did win in double overtime. You're right.
Yeah,
I was thinking Michigan won it because I was on Michigan.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, you're right. For sure.
That center from Michigan actually looked pretty good last night. Did you get to watch that? You're right.
Michigan covered, so I certainly understand.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. I think the number closed at 4.5. So they lost by 4, so they did cover that.
It was a wild game.
But, yeah, like I just don't love the matchup.
Big Ten's down, though. I mean, maybe they're just beating up on each other. I mean, you might be able to beat Illinois.
Big Ten is down, but again, I just think from a stylistic standpoint, I'd like to avoid it, man. I'd like to avoid it. You know, our friend Aki Collins there at Penn State, they got a little work to do, but they could get in. They could get in this thing in Micah's second year, former regular here on the show, former Memphis assistant. I think they have they got a big one coming up, one more regular season game. Against Maryland on Sunday, but it is at home. So they feel like if they win that one and then just win one game in the Big Ten tournament, they'll be in.
Big Ten's down, though, in general.
Well, yeah, because you got Ohio State, right, who's unranked. I mean, Minnesota's one of the worst.
Michigan's probably not in.
Yeah, Michigan's probably not in. No, it's definitely true. I mean, those are all facts. It's still just for me, like, I the Big 12 is clearly the best. But yeah. I just feel like you look across, like, do I want Memphis to play a Wisconsin type of team? No, never. Because I feel like that's what Rick Majerus did at St. Louis. You know, like, these teams will just scheme Memphis, and it just makes it tough, right? I want to get into a game where Memphis can run, you know? Like, that's what Memphis has to do.
Yep.
And we know Memphis is going to struggle in a half-court setting. 90% of the time. So if you get into these games with these Big Ten teams that just want to bring it up the floor and, you know, send everybody back, right? It's just it's going to be a tough proposition for me. Like, that's where I'm at with it. You know, even if it is, and it is a big, it is a down Big Ten, but I just feel like from a conference standpoint, from a stylist standpoint,
say it's down, still second best conference in the country metrically.
Yeah, I mean the ACC is horrible.
Still ahead of the SEC, Big East, Pac-12, yeah. Mountain West. Those are the rankings over KenPom.
Well, Big Ten expects to be number one every year, I guess.
Big 12 by far out.
I've been disappointed in Illinois in general, though. Like last night, Brad Underwood, they should have closed that game out in regulation.
Yeah. They won though.
I don't see y'all's guy on the Big Ten All Conference team.
Oh, Shannon, yeah. No, it might be Kendrick.
Maybe it is Kendrick.
It probably is. I was a little.
I thought of anybody that would pick Kendrick, there'd be you.
I'm sorry, man.
You blew it.
I did. I spoke too soon.
I know the metrics.
Bulletin board material for the homie.
I know the metrics say that, but like that game last night, Illinois isn't what they seem.
Did they win or lose? I'm confused now.
They won.
They won. 91-87.
They won.
That was not a convincing senior night win, Jason. I watched that game, the whole thing, double overtime. I mean, they kept dumping that ball into that big for Michigan, and they looked stupid at the end.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you take right now a 4-point double overtime win over Houston on Sunday?
All day.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. We'll take,
I think we can get that.
We'll lock that in. We'll lock a 4-point win.
I'd take that.
Over Houston on Sunday. But, no, I mean, like, this is the part that is fun, though. And, like, you know, just going over these matchups. You know, I didn't even ask you who the twos were in those regions.
You didn't?
No, I only asked you the sevens. Like, because, you know, we know Memphis is going to advance over most of those sevens.
Yeah. So UCLA is in your region, the Midwest, where at least if we're looking at Lunardi's bracket.
Okay.
Baylor is the two in the South. Texas is the two in the East. And Kansas State is the two in the West.
Ooh, I don't know.
I liked it better. I liked it better when Marquette was a two, which I believe is what Palm has got them as a two. I think Lenardi's got Marquette as a three.
I guess Texas is the one I would most rather see of those.
Yeah,
four.
None of them sound particularly good.
No, I mean I don't think. Kansas State's so good. They are so freaking good, man.
Agreed.
UCLA is good.
Texas is the one I'm with you that out of those. Out
yeah,
of that force,
I mean they don't have like
that. Doesn't excite me either.
Yeah, I mean that's a tough game too. I mean they're coming from the Big 12, but they'll at least sort of play your style, you know. They could certainly play that way. They're tough though, man. Tyrese Hunter, Timmy Allen. But it's, you know what? Again, good problems. Good problems to have because Memphis is in the field and we get to watch these games and anything can happen once you get to March, man. College basketball is crazy. College basketball is wacky as hell.
Especially when you got to play like Kendrick Davis knows how to draw fouls.
That's exactly right.
Create his own baskets.
You know, this is
things
not,
are breaking down. Like you got the edge.
That's exactly right.
You're going to have an edge.
Yeah, this isn't some hard luck Memphis basketball
just need
team
the right
that's sneaking
draw.
In. I mean, they've played tournament caliber basketball for a large part of the year.
But you watch, you know, that's just the how backwards it is with Memphis in the NCAA tournament, where if you win on Sunday, it bumps you up to an 8-9 that'll actually give you a tougher road, you know, than what you would have been if you were a 10. You know, that's been Memphis's plight, at least lately, in terms of since the Cal era, in terms of the draw they get.
Oh, people remind us. Memphis played Nebraska this season, which technically is in the Big Ten, technically.
Yeah, they did.
But they are not, you know,
no,
tournament caliber Big Ten.
John, it counts. You got to take the L.
No, it does count.
It's the most recent.
I would like to play Nebraska in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That like I'll take that.
I think we washed it from our minds because we weren't supposed to play them.
Right.
Remember, you're supposed to beat Seton Hall.
Who ended up winning that event?
Oklahoma.
Was it Oklahoma?
Was it not?
God, Oklahoma's bad. I think that's right.
I think it's right.
That field was.
I told you, I washed it from my memory.
Wasn't like
after
Ole Miss
the
in that field
Seton
too.
Long.
Like
oh
that,
yeah,
yeah. God, that ended up being dog
what
water.
What a mess, huh?
Yeah, because I don't even know if Oklahoma's above 500, dude.
And it's Atlantis next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which will be much better.
Yeah, Oklahoma is. What's their record? They're friggin' under 500, dude. I mean,
they're a good team, though. Like that Big 12, even the last place team in the Big 12, they like went to what Kansas State and
yeah,
won.
They won that thing by beating Ole Miss, didn't they?
Oklahoma just got drubbed by Kansas State at Kansas State by 16. But I mean, I will say, like you look at Texas Tech, for example. Like, they are—
Just beat Texas, right?
They are, like, you know, 5-13, 5-14 in the Big 12, and, like, people still talk about them as NCAA tournament, maybe. Like, if they do the X, Y, and Z. It is crazy.
Oklahoma was 6-1 after they won that game. They beat Nebraska. Seton Hall, Mississippi won that little
Man,
nasty
they
little
fell
tournament.
Apart, didn't
and
they?
Fell apart.
Just, you know who else
like
fell apart this season?
My Jacksonville team. Do you know we beat BCU up there?
Wow.
While we were talking about Mincy yesterday?
Yeah. UNLV started 10-0.
They what need happened? To fire that coach.
UNLV started 10-0, and now they just
turns out he's not Lon Kruger.
They got beat by 25 on senior night.
Turns out he's his son. He's not Lon Kruger.
Yeah, no.
They may want to figure that one out.
Yeah,
go get Chris Beard if he can. Unless old Mills, Ole Miss does.
Maybe try so. Again with him.
Yeah, might as well. He was there for a day.
He can't leave this time, can he?
No, I think Ole Miss got that done.
Anyway, yeah, it's a fun time of year.
UNLV fans are very upset right now.
Well, they should be. Start 10-0. You're friggin', you know, you're 6-whatever you are after that. 7
awful.
And, yeah, it's
awful,
not good enough.
Awful.
Joke!
It is a joke. It is a damn
joke! Smashed down there! Smashed!
Smashed down there. Friggin' UNLV.
He needs to address the tension. Because I'm worried about him.
I didn't know we had the drop, man.
It just arrived in the inbox.
I like how we got our arsenal.
I think I like the joke better than the smash.
Oh, the joke! Like, it's so fast.
No, it's perfect.
It's the quickest drop ever.
It's a laser beam.
And
it's
he literally dropped. That's when he walked off.
It's a sniper.
Joke!
I like that. That might be so Jamar Young tweeted about this, by the way. He said the KD chants last night were crazy. KD has done and achieved so much at SMU, there's no way the mob chanted FKD.
Oh.
That's what they were chanting, according to Jamar, FKD.
I don't know that you can throw them out for that at their own place. It's classless, but.
Classless!
Classless.
I told you that student section always, they dress up as bananas and weird
Smashed
stuff.
Smashed down there! Smashed!
That's why Kendrick smashed their tails down there.
Joke!
That student section's a joke.
Joke!
But Penny said it's representative of the whole SMU
alumni.
School alumni.
Don't do
anybody
that.
Ever came through that.
He said George Bush should be ashamed.
Yeah, he
for those
said
that
if you go
hear,
there,
yeah,
you're
he
an
didn't
idiot.
Go that far, but he basically, yeah,
he basically he reprimanded said, the whole university.
Y'all know how they are.
Yeah. No one there
they
is
are.
Good.
I mean, they are, the student section is. It's crazy. Silliness. They think they're smart.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's the SMU way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a private school?
Yes.
Isn't it?
I think so.
It's a Methodist, Southern Methodist University.
Now, Penny said after the game that George W. Bush needs to answer for this.
Yeah, he did.
You know?
This is the end.
That this is unacceptable.
Joke!
And it demands congressional investigation, what happened inside that building.
Well, okay, I will say, the Memphis fans booed KJ. Nobody said F him, did they?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's classless.
Not like a chant.
Nobody's going as far as to say a chant with a curse word in.
Mm-hmm.
About that, you got kids in there. It shows you a little classlessness.
Totally
when
classless.
When you're cursing like that because you're mad at a player.
Totally classless.
Anyway, y'all got what was coming to SMU. You guys are terrible.
Well, the bracketology, you know, that you're bringing us.
Men and women, both 2 seeds.
Next story.
Hey, NFL combine. It's fine. It's good.
It's a proper amount of celebration.
Right.
But I felt kind of silly after I said that, so I wanted to make sure I put a hooray on
no,
it.
No, it's all right.
Like we're two.
Right. It's like we're okay with being
you know,
second
you hold
best.
Up number one?
Yeah.
Right.
I get you.
Well, now,
yeah.
Let's be real. For the Memphis women who were picked fifth.
Right. It's a huge. Memphis
yes.
Overachieved.
Memphis men did what they were supposed to do.
Correct. Second best team in the AAC.
Memphis women exceeded.
By the
by
way,
far.
While we're on this subject, I have gotten several emails to interview the rifle coach, the softball coach. You got to achieve a little bit before we get there,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, well, that rifle team has achieved quite
champs.
A bit now. I think you slapping them around.
The
now.
Rifle
look,
team is the most getting, storied program
well, why
on
Why have
campus.
We not had their coach on then?
Well, because it's like, I don't really know enough about, like, tell me how you shoot
yeah,
that
what do
gun.
You ask? What do you ask? So when they shot it in the
pow,
air,
pow.
Did they hit the target?
Apparently so.
They must
right.
Hit all the targets.
Right, if they're the I mean, best, they hit it.
We, that's
a
where,
lot. We may have to have him or her
I,
on.
I think like we're a feeder program for like, the you know, the
or what?
The army or something. Like you come to Memphis and shoot some, you get join the rifling
Are
team.
Are we still a top 10 national program? We were for years straight.
How many rifling teams are there in college? Like 10?
How many Division One rifle teams? Oh, I think there was a ton. Is it like basketball where there's 300?
I don't think it's that many.
No way.
But a good deal.
There's going to be a lot of teams in the South.
Yeah.
You're not going to have many in the Northeast.
Guns. Yeah.
I don't believe. It's air rifles, right? It's not like actual ammunition.
Who you ask?
Bro, you cannot be having real live.
No, you have. They're loaded now.
They're air rifles.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know, firearms.
It's like buckshot or whatever. It's like, it's not.
What comes out, Joe?
I don't know. Like a pellet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's something, you're hitting the target.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's very impressive.
We need to send you over in Field of 68 to go cover it.
Yeah.
And do what?
An in-depth educational piece for those of us that have no clue
what would be an appropriate question to ask a rifler. You know, what were you seeing out there? Just the target?
And I focused.
What about the softball? softball has hit, you know.
All there is, really. That's going to be the quote.
How did you hit that target? Well, I just looked at it and I just pulled the trigger and it went. So I was like, because it's not in your control. I guess a ball is not in your control once it leaves your hand, but you make the decision as to when to shoot it, when to pass it, mm-hmm. when to, you know, let it leave your hands, as opposed to a rifle. You pull the trigger when it's time. I'm assuming you're timed. And it goes where it's a physics question, right? Like, how do you, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, man, what, you just couldn't hit your target out there. What was going on? Were you just like, you know, were you just...
I don't think anybody talks to them after it, except their parents and the coach.
It's like, okay.
Because who's interviewing them? That's why we know so little.
All right, so
because the media does not cover.
Well, let's go through this. I'm going to be an interviewer, and you're going to be the star rifler on the team. All right, so here we go. Ready? I have the tough job. I'm the one that has to come up with questions about it.
I don't know any answers because I don't do this.
All right,
my job might be
once
tough.
Again, Memphis Rifler, another event where you take down the crown.
Mm-hmm.
You were 94% on target with your shots out there. What was working for you?
Literally, it's the worst I've shot all season. I've been at 99%.
Joke!
Exactly. It was a joke. Hit it one more time.
Mason, he's been at 99%.
I got 94 is a B, isn't it, fool?
No, on the
maybe
target.
Maybe it's an A.
No, it's
now.
An A.
It's an A.
94 out of 100?
On the
95 to 100 used to be an A.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy, I don't think.
94 is an A.
And 94, I'm saying what it used to be. And so in 94 down to
a 90 is an A.
Right.
Yeah. It used to be like
Not everywhere.
Well, it used to be 93 was the first A you could get. Before they changed it, before I got into, like, I guess, higher institution, it was.
Me and you, I think, were 94, Brad. They changed it for John and them.
85 to 92 was a B. 93 to 100 was an A. 76 to 84 was a C. Anything under 75 or 76 was a D. And then F was like 69
right.
And below.
Yeah, maybe I just lost.
Well, I was examining the softball because somebody direct messaged after the women's basketball. They've only won two games.
Well, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for some promo. So here's the thing.
Well, you have to. You better put the baby before we show you the.
The
birth pains before the baby. Is that your saying?
Tough crowd.
That's as John always says.
But I tell you,
he always says that birth pains.
I tell you this though. If you were talking about a traditional campus, it is that rifling team. I mean that they're just machines out there.
We'll do it with them in the palm squad.
Oh yeah, palm is huge. They're awesome.
That's a tradition.
Yeah, we noticed in your because we have the target out here. We have the target here. And we noticed that you had a few that went to the nether regions. Was there anything sort of mentally going on with you today that you just had to lash out a little bit?
Lost focus. Yep.
Okay. Well, that was Memphis Rifle.
Next story.
That's why it's not covered.
Right. It's just hard to ask questions. I respect the tradition, but I don't know how to ask questions about it. I'm just being totally transparent.
Nor do I know how to answer them.
Right. Mm. So, again, shout out to Memphis Rifle. Nothing but love. You know what I mean?
Man, go have a terrible weekend.
Oh, no, we want Rifle to have a good weekend.
Yeah, exactly, Brad.
We want Rifle to have a great weekend over there. I tell you who might have a terrible weekend is Bryce Young. There's a lot of attention on how he's going to measure at the NFL Combine. He hasn't yet. He will tomorrow. Todd McShay reported that he is expected to measure in at 5'10 and a half and 195. If that holds, if that is the indeed the measurement, he will be, I want to get this right because it is important. I believe the second shortest quarterback to be drafted since 2000 in the first round, and he would be the lightest to be drafted in the first round.
Not good.
If those measurements come in exactly,
but
like
it's what you expected, and it's the only question about him, and it will remain a question for any team that takes him.
Yeah, no.
Is he going to hold up? It was always the issue. You knew he wasn't. You know, he's listed what 6 foot 195 at Bama. You knew it was too tall and it was too heavy.
Yes.
He's obviously put on some pounds, and that part is good. But the size.
Yeah, I mean, look, as
especially
much,
for a team like the Bears,
I think Bryce Young is amazing.
Who can't protect their quarterback.
I love the way he improvises. I love the way he makes something out of nothing, and he's incredibly talented, you know, and he's smart and he's accomplished and he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and I mean he checks all the boxes for me. But I do think it is a real concern because you don't see small guys succeed at quarterback in the NFL. You don't see small guys and you don't see super tall guys. You know, you just don't. You gotta kind of.
I think the reason he can is because he can be like Drew Brees. Bryce Young doesn't depend on his legs. Can he use them to buy extra time, make plays? Sure.
Yeah.
But he is a pocket passer.
Oh,
like that can make magic happen.
He is.
And it's the only way it's going to work.
No, I mean, it's true.
You got to be Drew Brees. You got to be getting it out fast. Like that's the only way. He's got the tools you need to be that.
Yeah, no, he does.
But again, you're still talking about 17 times in the regular season you're going to throw him out there.
Right.
Justin Fields is, I'm looking at it, he's 6'3", 228.
It's a big dude.
And he took a beating. I'm talking about helmet knocked off at times the last 2 years. And you got to think, in most of these places, you're going to a bad situation. If you're talking about the Colts, okay, that's a little bit better situation certainly than the Bears or the Texans. But the point is, you're going to get beat up whether you're a pocket quarterback or not. And the question is going to be, can that hold up? Like, you tell me, if Kyler Murray, is he holding up? He's on the smaller side. Bigger, clearly. I mean, isn't he?
Towards
he's
ACL.
Not, yeah.
I know.
See? Now, Kyler's a little bit more of a runner, I think.
He is.
Depends on it more. But, yeah, man, it better be right system with Bryce. You got him all running around out there. Those big boys, those 300-pounders. Look at the big DT that fell on Jalen Hurts' shoulder, you know, in that game.
Jalen Hurts,
big dude.
You know?
Big dude. But that's look who's falling on you. And that happens to Bryce Young. You know, it's not like he's not playing in a big boy, you know, the best conference
in
college
football. They got Jalen Hurts listed at 223, but I don't buy it. I think that dude is easily 230, 240.
Oh, he's thick. I mean, he's Jalen Hurts strong.
Yeah, like I don't buy that he's 223. I mean,
like he's got at least 30, 40 pounds on Bryce.
Well, and sometimes you'll watch Bears games and, like, Justin Fields looks little out there. So if Justin Fields looks small.
6'3", 228.
Think about how small Bryce is going to look. So I do think that.
So that I was on the Bryce train for a minute. Y'all heard me a couple of days. I'd switch my mind, but it's that going.
You better be confident in your offensive line.
Knowing that I don't have an offensive line right now.
Yep.
You know, and the way the beating that Justin Fields has taken the first 2 years, he would not finish the season, I fear, Bryce Young, if we took him.
Well, it just depends on who trades for him, right? I mean, if it's like the Colts that get up
there.
Get in
the right situation.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts have a pretty good offensive line. Like, well. They did. I don't know if they do anymore. I think last year they probably took a bit of a step back. But look, I think that's part of the calculus. If you're, you know, you may go for a CJ Stroud, you know, who's a little bit more put together.
He's 6'3", too, isn't he? 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, but he's got a lot more weight on him than.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That too.
Than like CJ is who my eyes are on now.
CJ, one thing's got Stroud listed as 6'4".
Love it.
6'4", 220.
His first meeting at the NFL Combine today was with the Raiders. So I'm really, like, praying that we find a way to get this guy. Like, whatever we got to do, we got to trade. I'll take him at one. I'm fine with that.
Well, you need some others to fall in love with Levis or something, right?
Oh,
which
Levis.
Could happen because Kuiper's got him rated so high.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Levis. Levis is out here talking about.
You would need Stroud to fall a little bit and some other teams to fall in love with Levis for that to. Right? For y'all to go get him from get Stroud from 7?
Yeah, because you got
to
feel like two, like the top, those are the top two going, right?
Uh-huh.
Unless, because, okay, you guys would trade. Would you trade to Houston?
Yeah, that's the hope.
Okay, so Houston goes to one.
Houston's got to hope that, so we don't trade
with
somebody else.
You're going to go to two, so you guys aren't trading quarterback. You guys aren't drafting quarterback. Maybe you trade again. So maybe we have to trade to you guys at number two to get C.J. Stroud. That's probably what has to happen.
Yeah, because the Colts are going to want to come up to two to get him.
Is there not another
if
one?
If Bryce is off the board.
I don't want Will Levis.
The Colts love Will Levis. That's what I'm saying. And I get that's where I started. You're going to have to hope that happens.
I don't want any part of Will Levis. He says he has the strongest arm at
He's a physical specimen.
Oh, he is. He looks the part.
Yeah, that's why he's going to get drafted in top 10.
But dude friggin' throws picks, man. Like, dude throws a ton of picks. That's a problem. You know, if you're throwing interceptions in college, you're going to throw picks in the NFL. So, like, to me, that's a huge, huge flag. A red flag. C.J. Stroud to me is like, I'm starting to get vibes of like he could be a great. That's what I'm getting vibes on. It's hard to evaluate. And that's probably I was thinking about this the other day. When you could turn on ESPN and you're just listening to analysts, and I'm not talking about like, you know, even former players, the most useless piece of content in this day and age is anybody projecting a quarterback, good or bad, right? Like, it to me is the most. It's the biggest waste of time in sports media today, trying to determine who's going to be good and who's not. I mean, we can guess, we can say, but we don't have enough information. We don't know what this dude does in his off time. We don't know how much he prepares. We don't know, you know, how much of a leader he could be. We don't know these things. You know, how many of us were saying when Jalen Hurts got drafted, you know, in the third or second or third round, whatever it was, oh, this dude's going to be in the Super Bowl 2 years from now? Nobody. You know, we all had questions. We all had big questions about him. He gets into the right situation, gets reps as a rookie, and has a good situation around him, and he's in the Super Bowl in 2 years. How many people were saying about Patrick Mahomes when the Chiefs traded up to draft him in the top 10? Nobody was talking about Pat Mahomes that draft. Nobody could believe it. You know, waited a year, and when he got in, he was amazing. How many people were talking about Patrick Mahomes being this generational quarterback? Nobody. You know, they were questioning Andy Reid. They were questioning the Chiefs. And on the flip side of that, Paxton Lynch, he was a guy that was at one time projected to go number one overall. I remember reading mock drafts from Mel Kiper with him going number one to the Cleveland Browns that year. You know, ends up sliding all the way to 24th. Like, man, what a great situation going to Denver. Guy can't even get on the field, you know, and he had a hell of an arm. So it's a fruitless thing to try to project. You know, I mean, yeah, you have what guys in college, but there's too much that goes into being a successful NFL quarterback that we can't know, we can't see.
Yeah, there are some, though, that you know. Like, you knew Luck, you knew Trevor Lawrence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're okay. Can't miss guys.
Yeah.
But even Trevor sucked as a rookie, you know?
And again, look at who his coach was.
No, it's true. I mean, but to me, though, that underlines and emphasizes, right, how important the situation that you're stepping into is. Because if you're in a situation where, you know, maybe the Jaguars, maybe it's not as disastrous as Urban, that was obvious, but what if it's like a grade or two, you know? Disastrous.
I would draft a dude like Max Duggan out of TCU. That's a decent. Like, there's some quarterbacks that aren't projected super high, but like that seem serviceable. I mean, well, what am I missing?
Well, you might as well take Hendon Hooker then.
Right.
I like Hooker too.
Yeah.
I thought you would. I love Hooker. I like both of those dudes.
You know, that's where you get into trouble, right? You see guys that were super awesome in college, and then I mean Duggan, he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback to me, but. You know, a lot of guys didn't look NFL quarterbacks to me and have turned out to be. And a lot of guys looked like NFL quarterbacks to me and didn't turn out to be.
Yeah. Duggan's got all the leadership boxes checked,
though. He does have that. He doesn't have anything else.
He's a man's man.
He
would lead a lot, you know. But
tough.
Again, he's going to have to be in a locker room for a few years, all that, and then maybe become that guy. Like, you're not getting that shot right off the bat.
Right. It reminds me a little. I know it's a different player than Prescott. You know, he's – little white dude, but like Max Duggan reminds me of like Dak Prescott a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the difference is that Dak was doing it against SEC defenses, whereas Max was doing it against the worst defenses in college football in the Big 12. I mean, not to take away from him, but when he got into that game against a real defense,
no, they kicked his ass.
But
no doubt about that. But they had no line for that.
He
SEC,
shrunk. No,
that
I mean,
blitz.
That's, I mean, look, I mean, it's part of the equation. But you know, that would scare the living hell out of me. Oh, man, you looked really good against Kansas, but you look like...
Oh, yeah, I hear you. But you Paxton know. Had that too, though.
Yeah,
you know?
No, and Paxton is in... I don't even know where he is now.
Done. All levels been cut from.
Yeah, so...
The only place.
I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, and Paxton, to his credit, man, he beat Ole Miss.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he went in there and did it.
Well, do you mean that was to Fuente's credit?
Clearly. clearly we know now.
He was the brains behind that operation.
He was. He was like, and Paxson was Frankenstein. And, you know,
I'm afraid that looks like the case.
What was the doctor's name, though? Was the Dr. Frankenstein?
It was Dr. Frankenstein.
Well, what was the monster called?
I don't know. This is a trick question.
Is it?
It's been asked many times.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't think it does. He have?
Yeah.
Dr. Frankenstein, he called him Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's monster?
Mm-hmm.
But he's known shorthand as the green guy is shorthand Frankenstein.
That's what my kid calls him. But is that one of those, what do you call it?
Mandela effect?
You knew exactly what I was talking about.
No,
is that one of those?
No, I think, I don't think.
So when we look at the green dude on Halloween, do we not say, there's Frankenstein? I know that's what CJ says.
Frankenstein refers to his creation as creature, fiend, specter, demon, wretch, devil thing, being an ogre.
So why is that not Mandela effect? Because we've said it so many times. Isn't that what the Mandela thing, isn't that what your thing? We say it so many times that we start to believe what's wrong.
Yeah, but I think it's accepted that that is Frankenstein. Because do you really see the doctor? Is the doctor? I mean, I don't know.
That's a good point.
Do you? I haven't.
You see him like in the movie? Yeah. You saw him. Raise him up, and the electricity hits him.
Lab.
He comes alive.
Yeah.
He says, "It's alive,
yeah,
alive."
But who's the star of the thing? It's the monster,
the beast.
But he doesn't have a name.
Exactly.
But he should have a name.
But as a society, we pretty much call him Frankenstein on Halloween. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't say it's Frankenstein's monster.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
that's technically wrong, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but if you Google Frankenstein, these are all the pictures that come up.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not Frankenstein.
Is that not Mandela?
Well, Mandela's like Mandela is more of when you like people. You think Shaq was Kazam or Sinbad was Kazam, but it was Shaq or like something like that. Like you put a person in a role that they didn't do.
Right. We've gotten it wrong so much that we believe it.
Like
that's what I said.
Like here, let me pull up some examples of Mandela effect. Cause I'm close. I'm doing a poor job.
I feel like this is close to Mandela effect, like, at least the way as described by John. What I've learned from you.
Like, okay, let's go through this. How you spell Looney Tunes. That's Mandela effect. Do you know how Looney Tunes are spelled?
Looney?
Well, yeah, Looney is, yes. You know how tunes are spelled?
It's something different than T-U-N-E-S?
Well, no, it is that, but some people think it's T-O-O-N-S. It is T-U-N-E-S, but some people mistake it for being T-O-O-N-S, like a cartoon.
Pace setters do that.
Well, no, not me, not this one. There's other ones.
I didn't know there was confusion there, so that's not a good Mandela effect for me.
Okay, how about this? Here's a Mandela effect. How do you spell the Bernstein Bears?
Bernstein.
No.
Burn.
No, it's Stain. It's
Bernstein Bears. What are the Bernstein Bears, though?
They're the Bernstein Bears, but their name is Bernstein.
Well, what are the Bernstein Bears, though? That means nothing to me. The Bernstein, either one of them, what are they? Is that like a children's book? Because that means nothing to me.
Yeah. Exactly. Let me ask you this.
So again, I don't know if that's enough.
Does Curious George have a tail? Yes or no?
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
I was going to say no.
But you don't
But these aren't good. I don't feel like this is something America gets wrong all the time.
Okay, is it sex?
Like we get Frankenstein wrong.
Is it Sex in the City or Sex and the City? Which is it?
Sex and the City.
That's correct. You clearly are not somebody that suffers.
I don't get fooled by this stuff.
Okay, how about this? Is it spelled, how do you spell Febreze?
Febreze.
How do you spell Febreze? The air.
Yeah, I know it. I'm just trying to see what I want to go F-E or F-A here. F-E. Breeze.
Spell the rest.
B-R-E-E-Z-E, fool.
No. There's only one E.
What?
F-E-B-R-E-Z-E.
Hold on.
F-E-B-R-E-Z-E.
How is there only one E in breeze? That's not a word.
Mandela effect.
That cannot be Mandela effect.
How do you spell?
That's just stupidly spelled. They took breeze and took some license with
How
it.
How do you spell Skechers, the shoe?
S-K-E-T-C-H-E-R-S.
False. There is no T in Skechers.
What?
There is no T in Skechers. You do, in fact, suffer from Mandela effect.
Okay,
smashed down there. Yeah, smashed.
Now I'm getting smashed. I've dropped two in a row here. I don't. I don't like these. I think my Frankenstein thing is more Mandela effect than any of this.
Does the Monopoly man have a monocle?
Yeah.
He does not.
What? Now, that might be Mandela because I can see him with it.
Yeah.
I can see him with the monocle, can't you? Brad is agreeing with me.
Is there a hyphen in the candy bar Kit Kat?
I eat Kit Kats. I'm going to say no.
Correct. There is not.
Yeah. You and I both eat a lot of those.
I'm starting to catch on here.
Yeah. So, it's just, I mean, these are examples, right? Mm. These are examples.
But okay, you've used that. Good exercise. And you're telling me that what I'm saying about Frankenstein is not that? That when we look at him and call the monster Frankenstein, even though it's actually the doctor, that's not Mandela?
It might be a form of Mandela. I'm going to have to consult my Mandela expert. I got to call him in the break.
Thanks.
And then we'll get to it, and I'll give you an answer. But Anthony Sane is saying that Frankenstein is not a Mandela effect, just for your records here. So
Thank you, Dr. Sane.
You're going to have to take that up with him. All right, we will come back, and at 1:25, Dane Bradshaw will join us. But before we do that, Shoot 360. It is a great place if you're trying to get some outside practice hours for your son or daughter that loves the game of basketball. But it's also a great place for a birthday party. Looking for places to go, places to host, this is the perfect place to do it. They got all kinds of different options available. You can do just two-court rentals, right? Maybe you don't want to rent out the whole place. Or you could rent out the whole place. 60 minutes, 90 minutes, you can get private access to 8 shooting courts, 8 skill stations, 1 half court, all there, all kinds of different options. All you have to do is head out there, 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Yep, be one of the most memorable parties your kid can have because they're going to have so much fun. They'll definitely remember this one. And again, if you want to get them out there, get them better for next season, next school year, basketball season. Now, most of those are coming to an end or have at this point, or maybe even get them ready for the summer circuit. Get them out to Shoot 360. Get the jumpers up. Repetition is key when you are trying to improve your game. Shoot 360 certainly knows that and has everything you need all the way down to the weight training. So get them out there. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future is now out at Shoot 360. Go see them at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.